We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
KC Laboratories, sponsored by Emprise Bank.
Merry Draftmas Eve! It's another episode of the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank. Look, you can open an account with Emprise Bank in less than 5 minutes. The savings just start there, though. Emprise is a trusted partner with a variety of products and services to help you achieve your goals. Don't be tethered to a brick building. Start with a meaningful relationship with a bank that has your best in mind. That's Emprise Bank, member FDIC. They are our partners in Possible with the KCSN Draft Guide, and cannot speak more highly of them. They are incredible, and they've been an incredible partner, and they've been an incredible business partner with the KCSN Draft Guide. I am here with my incredible business partner, Maddie Lane, in an incredible shirt. If you are listening audio only, you are missing out on this man. And your mic is muted, Maddie.
I'm aware.
Okay, I'm just making sure because I saw you laughing and nothing was coming out. And you know, I know I'm not funny, but you know, I just figured. But what's good, buddy?
You know, I got the shirt on because it's almost here. It's almost draft day, so it's a reason to party. We put on the party shirt. We put on the Andy Reid special, the Hawaiian shirt. We get ready for the NFL draft that comes at us tomorrow. And by us, I mean everybody's going to be joining us, of course, at the Kingdom Bar and Grill, because that's where we're going to be for every single second live with you guys at the Kingdom Bar and Grill, covering the draft, talking about the draft as it happens. So come hang out. If you can't, if you're not around, you're not in town, that's fine. You can tune into the YouTube page and just watch us sit there and fill hours and hours of talk and get it related at least to your Chiefs, so they don't just get a 3-minute blurb when it's time for them to pick on NFL Network or ESPN.
Everything is going to tie back to the Chiefs as we break down the draft, you know, and so we'll be looking at all kinds of stuff during the entirety of the draft, every single pick, and how it ties back to the Chiefs potentially. So really, really excited to get out there. It is going to be an absolute party at Kingdom Bar and Grill. I cannot wait. There's going to be some really great food specials, some drink specials. 360 Vodka will be there as well, representing. It's normally a good thing when they it's normally a good thing when they come. Just take that for what it's worth. So we are going to do a mock draft roundup and kind of react to some of the mock drafts that are out there, and just kind of have some discourse about them. And that's kind of what we're going to do today. If you've seen some of the mock draft roundup shows that BJ and Maddie have done. So it's going to be kind of like that today. And we'll start with this one. The Athletic did their mock drafts. And our guy, Nate Taylor, our pal Nate, he was picking for the Chiefs at 29 and 30. And he went with Daxton Hill, the safety out of Michigan, and Edge Arnold Ebiketie out of Penn State. And I mean, Daxton Hill, didn't we go with Daxton Hill? I think we might have went with Daxton Hill as well. I think when we did our mock draft exercise last night, or I think it was at least a part of the conversation. I can't remember if we ultimately went with him. I've already forgot about it.
We did go with Dax Hill, but I believe Nate Taylor went with Christian Watson.
Christian Watson. My fault. Right.
You're good.
I had it written down wrong. You're right.
Nate went with Christian Watson and Arnold Ebiketie.
You're right. Let's start with Christian Watson, okay. Because I know like he's kind of a guy that we've been a little bit polarizing at. And I'll just say this. I'm stuck between Christian Watson at pick 30 and 50 because I really like Christian Watson. I'm a fan of his game, and what he did at the Senior Bowl was really, really, really impressive. You know, he put together some really good tape, And obviously, you know, the North Dakota State tape doesn't really necessarily match the same way entirely to what you saw at the Senior Bowl. But I think the physical profile, the athletic profile, and some of the stuff he's able to put together against really elite competition at the Senior Bowl is, you know, positive indicators for him. But I still feel stuck between pick 30 and 50 for him. It's kind of one of those situations, if receivers fall, they might have to be aggressive to make sure that they secure a receiver that they like at pick 30, Maddie.
And see, for me, I'm stuck more between 50 and 62 on him. So I think it's a little early. I get liking Christian Watson. I think the physical profile is appealing, but it's kind of my issue is when you start looking at older prospects, which Christian Watson is, that need time to develop. If you're going to have to spend a year or two developing these guys and they're already older, that already right there makes it really hard to invest in them in round one for me. And then I go and when I watch Christian Watson, like, there's definitely stuff to like his ability to attack vertically. His just athletic ability is very apparent, but I just wonder if he's going to ever become a complete receiver or if it's going to kind of be a one trick thing. And if it's a one trick thing, is it going to be good enough to justify a round one pick? So I'm not quite there. Like, I think it's a little bit of a reach to take him here, but when you're looking at the wide receiver market around the NFL, not just in the draft, right, but with cash and free agency and trades, you might have to, in the draft, start overspending to get receivers because teams might start drafting them more and more. I'm assuming with Watson going here, you know, the first, I would hope like 6-7 wide receivers are already off the board and you're kind of afraid that you're not going to get your next guy at pick 50. So you're making sure you get one. So I get the concept. I'm just not quite as high on him, I think, as some other people because I see a lot of risk there.
I get it. And I think there's some legitimate concerns about him, but I think it just sometimes the situation could necessitate them making a move like that to just make sure they're securing a receiver that they really like. Arnold Ebiketie is the second pick to discuss that Nate went with there at the edge position out of Penn State. And here's the interesting one. You know, when Brett Veach did his press conference, you know, kind of got asked about, you know, physical thresholds that, you know, this staff might like, the coaching staff might like and might prefer. And Veach singled out the edge position, kind of discussing, you know, when it comes to edges, there's a lot of discourse that has to be had about, you know, the 3-4 type edge rushers versus the, you know, the base 4-3 type guys. And, you know, Arnold Ebiketie is an interesting one because I think the range for him here is completely fair. It's just a matter of fit. And if the Chiefs are going to be willing to bend to their typical thresholds, and maybe, Maddie, this is finally the year that Steve Spagnuolo maybe gives in a little bit to some of the physical thresholds that he likes with the length and the density ability against the run. Maybe this is a year that they kind of bend themselves a little bit to fit a guy like Arnold Ebiketie, a very talented speed rusher out of Penn State.
And I like Arnold Ebiketie. I've done a couple like what I would do mock drafts, whether by myself or as part of groups, you know, with like Pro Football Network, it asked me to do one. And I took Arnold Ebiketie in that draft because I really like him as a player. He's explosive. I don't want to say he's like raw in the same way that a Christian Watson is, in which I think he needs a lot of development, but there's plenty that he can continue to develop. Mm-hmm. Like what he does already, he's really good at, but it's probably like a smaller skill set than what he needs to get to. But I think you see the flashes of hand technique, speed to power. He knows how to, he's short, he's a little smaller guy, but he knows how to use that leverage to go with his length. So like, I see the traits, how he's starting to put them together. I don't think it's a long process to say, hey, I know where this guy can start contributing in year one. So I really do like the pick. I'm a little worried about the fit with the Chiefs. Like, they would have to change some stuff schematically. I don't think that he's the kind of defensive end that is going to play through a tight end and a tackle to make a play versus run. I don't think he's going to hold the C gap if he's having to deal with a massive tackle trying to jump out and reach him, or a tight end chipping him and then having to deal with the tackle. He's sub 250 pounds. Like, it's a tough fit for Steve Spagnuolo, but I love the talent. So if they're willing to make, you know, the correct adjustments, whether that be a true strong and weak side defensive end, whether it's to just split him out as a nine tech all the time and kind of run a little bit more as like a Leo and a stronger, more Seattle style 4-3, you know, underlook. Okay, you've got some stuff there that you can do. So I like the player. I just would be very interested to see the defensive scheme changes to make sure that he's not trying to take on the Mekhi Becktons of the world one-on-one and hold up against the run.
Well, if they take him, They're obviously bending a little bit to providing a little bend for once. So I'd like that. You know, it'd be an adjustment schematically to try to fit a uber talented pass rusher in Arnold Ebiketie. Shout out to our guy Nate Taylor for putting those two together in the Athletics mock draft. Where would you go from here, Maddie? Because like I think one thing you do is you probably still need to go address defensive end and maybe get a bigger guy with your top 100 picks. You still got to address receiver.
So that's what I want to talk about. That's my issue with these two in the first round. You still have to address both of these positions again, because now this is with any defensive end you take at the end of round one, because they're at the end of round one player. You're not getting a complete defensive end at the end of round one. So regardless, and even if you had a really good one, the Chiefs might still need two. But the issue with the Watson and Ebiketie, you still need probably a day two defensive end and a day two wide receiver. And I just think if you go other directions, you might be able to lock up, you know, at least one of those positions to where you don't need them until later in day three. So like, I don't know if these two selections particularly change anything about the rest of your draft. I think that Watson needs a little bit of time and might be a pretty limited receiver in terms of his skill set. And Ebiketie, while I think is really good, you still need a guy that can come in and play early on, potentially to stop the run, or worst case scenario, to kind of build out the defensive end spot away from him. So I don't know if it changes much of the rest of the draft.
It'll be fascinating to see if something like this does play out, how the rest of the board does fall for the Chiefs. Matt Miller, he's got a mock draft out the last couple of days, and we had a hard time finding some trade-ups. Matt found one here. For the Chiefs, they trade all the way up to pick 13 for Jameson Williams, the wide receiver out of Alabama. And then at pick 30, go with Kyler Gordon, the cornerback out of Washington. Maddie, if your initial thoughts, if the Chiefs move up to pick 13 for Jameson Williams, what are your thoughts?
I don't want to be like super negative about every pick, because it's going to sound like I hate everything. And like, that's hard, because Jameson Williams is like my number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. I think he's the best, you know, probably one of the better fits. What he brings the offense is going to be great. I struggle with moving up for a receiver after you traded away a top tier receiver to recoup other assets. What was the point of the move other than to save a little bit of cash, which obviously matters? It's just, I don't know if I like immediately spending those trade assets gained from Hill to go up and get a receiver. That said, you could pretty much drop Jameson Williams into some of the roles that you did with Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. and you're going to produce some results. Like, he's not the most technical receiver in this draft, but he understands leverage. Like, you can tell that he was an Ohio State wide receiver. He, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, they all attack leverage. They get in the blind spot of a corner nonstop. Like, you can tell he understands how to run routes. You can drop him in, he's going to produce. So like, I don't love the concept of trading up to get a receiver, but at the same time, Jameson Williams would be so electric, and with the Chiefs, like, I don't know how long I would be upset.
Yeah, because he's a guy that definitely has the elite talent. He's a guy that can definitely be a blue chip and can be blue chip in a cost-controlled situation. I think that's what's so interesting. You see the explosive play potential that he has. And he's an exceptional receiver with elite speed. And it seems like the ACL recovery is coming along great. So definitely intriguing player there. You know, it's going to take you 29, 62, and pick 94 to go up for Jameson Williams. So, you know, if they do that, they got a plan for him for sure. And they're going to be, they'll get a lot out of him for sure here in Kansas City. Pick 30, Kyler Gordon, the cornerback out of Washington. So if the Chiefs do make this move, they'll be picking at 13, 30, and then pick 50, and then pick 103. That's it that they would have in the first three rounds. Makes things a little bit depleted, but Kyler Gordon, the cornerback. What do you think there?
So he's one of your guys, so I'll let you gush kind of about Kyler Gordon, why you think it's fit. I've come around to being okay with it without loving it, but I get what they're going for. I just want to say, though, the combo here, we'll talk about the combo later, so I'll let you gush about Kyler Gordon. Just kind of say, as far as corners go, if the Chiefs aren't going to be interested in Andrew Booth Jr., and you're not getting Sauce Gardner, or you're not going to get Derek Stingley Jr., Kyler Gordon's probably the next best man corner. I think you might have to keep some help over the top. Like, I don't know if he's a vertical guy, so you might have to play a lot more too high structure, but I do think he might be the next best man corner out of that next group if you're not including Andrew Booth. So better than Kyrie Elam, Trent McDuffie, Tariq Woolen. Like, I like him better in man coverage. So, like, I get the fit for the Chiefs, and I understand why you would be having to take him at 30 rather than waiting to 50.
You're not getting him at 50, even though he did have some disappointing testing. I think you're still probably not getting him at 50. So, like, I think this is where you have to pull the trigger on a guy like Kyler Gordon. And, I mean, look, you know, it's interesting. The Chiefs typically like to build from the trenches. In this situation, they've gone with skill guys and back-to-back picks, and they've depleted their assets a little bit at 62. They've only got pick 50 and 103 left in this particular situation. So that'll be also interesting to monitor. They could theoretically go, you know, pick 50 and 121 as well. So there's some situations, but they're probably staring at, looking at depleted assets in day two. With the cornerback position, the receiver position addressed, what do you do here after that? I mean, you're probably looking at, if you've got pick 50, you're probably going with an edge, I would imagine. Like, I think you got to go try to find like a Zach Pascal out of Kentucky is probably, maybe Drake Jackson's there, a big swing. But even then, like, you probably need some more contribution early, right, Maddie?
You definitely need defensive end help. But what I like about this draft is you don't have to go address wide receiver again. You don't have to go address cornerback again. I think you got guys that corners, specifically because it's the Chiefs and they kind of don't value it a ton. So it'd be surprising to see them go double or triple down early on. But Jameson Williams, the kind of receiver that I don't think you need another day two wide receiver to pair with him. I don't think you need another day two corner to pair with Kyler Gordon. So like, you can kind of check off a need and only go back to those positions if it's best player available. So like, that's why I do like those two players. I think that's one of the benefits that you get from moving up in a draft. You no longer need to take multiple swings at one position. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Whereas if you sit back, it's like, I like the concept of the trade forward there. Yeah, they need defensive line help. They need two defensive ends still, maybe a D tackle, safety, offensive tackle. Like, there's plenty of other options on the board. It's just you don't have to address wide receiver or corner again, and that's because you make that trade up to go get Jameson Williams.
And I think Jameson Williams is a blue chip. He's a blue chip player. So if you're talking, you know, Jameson Williams, Kyler Gordon, a Josh Pascal, with your first three picks, and maybe, you know, pick 103, you know, I don't know what else you would go there. You could do a lot there, but you've got some flexibility. Wouldn't hate it. And there's still got some picks in, you know, early picks in day three as well to kind of play with as well. And maybe you move around. Maybe you can use one of those to move around too. Maybe move back up from round three and move up a little bit higher in that round. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're going to go to a very fresh, hot off the press mock draft. Daniel Jeremiah released his round one mock on Wednesday evening, and he went with a couple names: Boye Mafe, the edge out of Minnesota, and one of our favorites around here, wide receiver George Pickens out of Georgia. This is an intriguing group here, but I know with Boye Mafe, we've had a lot of discourse and discussion about him. I don't know how you feel about, it's old and raw. That's never really a good combination, Maddie.
So Boye Mafe is probably the hottest, you know, draft name in Missouri right now. And do you know what the hottest liquor store in the Midwest and in Missouri is right now, Kent? It's McAdoodles. That's right. I'm not Craig. I can't transition like him, but I can sure try. So McAdoodles, they're coming near you guys. If you live in the Kansas City area later this fall, Lee's Summit area, McAdoodles is coming there. If you don't know what it is, if you've never experienced McAdoodles, like the Chiefs haven't experienced an explosive pass rusher in some time. Well, here's the thing. The Chiefs get Boye Mafe. You're going to see it. When McAdoodles comes to Kansas City, you got to go see it. You got to go in there. You're going to get the best selection you've ever seen. Beer, wine, liquor. You're going to get the best customer service you've ever come across. Maybe you're a little confused, overwhelmed. You don't know what to do with everything. They got your back. So now, here's the thing. You don't want just one explosive pass rusher. You want two, three, four, five. So why only stop at one McAdoodles? This is what you got to do. If you're interested in being a franchisee, you got to get a hold of Roger at info@McAdoodles.com. Get, you know, contact them. Tell them, reach out. Tell them that you're interested. Bring more McAdoodles to the area because you don't want to have to go to only one. And with that said, the Chiefs don't need just one pass rusher. I like starting with Boye Mafe. I get the appeal. I think you laid it out well, though. He's an explosive guy. He's older and he's raw. Like, what are you kind of hoping from him? He's a designated pass rusher, so he's only going to play on certain downs. And even then, he still needs some time to develop his pass rush plan. It's not very advanced. There's not a lot there in the toolbox. And I don't even think that he executes what he does have at a high level besides his initial burst. It's just, I don't see it as much with Mafe. He's just such a hot name to the Chiefs. Like, it's hard to go through more than three mocks without seeing him connected to the Chiefs. So it's one of those that you got to start paying attention to it. It's just the fit really does concern me when you try to plug him in, ask him to stop the run, and ask him to play early on.
You're less than 24 hours from the draft. Seems like Boye Mafe does have a lot of sizzle with some of the mock drafts out here. And Daniel Jeremiah is as plugged in as anybody out there. And he's got Boye Mafe going to the Chiefs, the edge rusher out of Minnesota. That is interesting. The other one, though, George Pickens, the wide receiver out of Georgia, is a guy that, you know, we've talked a lot about. He's number one in the KCSN draft guide at the position. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about him, but this is just a rare physical freak with appealing ball skills, you know, strength at the catch point. Ball tracking ability. There's a lot of really good things to like about him. He's just getting started. He's still a younger prospect. He's 3 years removed, obviously, the ACL. And one of the things that's popping up a lot recently when we're having, you know, when you're seeing some of the reports about George Pickens is he might fall due to some concerns about maturity, off field, some of those kind of things seem to be clouding his draft position and murking his situation up a little bit more, Maddie. And that's something worth monitoring for sure to me.
Yeah, it is. There seems to be some late rumblings about some off-field immaturity, and then you have the injury stuff. We've talked about him a lot, and the fact that he went through this whole string of interviews and nobody got really amped to move him up draft boards or start putting him up early in the mock drafts was a reason to cause some pause. I will say, though, over the past, I want to say 24 hours, there's been a fair amount of a scuttlebutt about the Chiefs maybe being a team that's done their homework and might feel comfortable with it. And maybe that's people connecting the dots that Andy Reid's okay with stuff like that. Or, you know, maybe it's just the Andy Reid, just people trying to connect dots in their mind, or maybe there's something to it. So like team fit, it makes a lot of sense. George Pickens to the Chiefs. He fills this X role that they haven't particularly had. He actually does a lot more than just be a big possession receiver. If you think that you can get anything close to what he was in 2019, like the off-field, the non-football stuff has to be incredibly bad, in my opinion, to skip over it. We'll never know how the Chiefs feel about that. But, I mean, this is a pick that I think 98% of Chiefs fans would love, even if it is in the first round. I think the hope now, from what we're hearing, is you hope to catch him at 50. It sounds like he might be sliding a little bit and you might be able to catch him at 50, but if you can't, yeah, I think this is a great spot. I think everyone should be happy if the Chiefs feel good with the off field.
Well, and if they take him in round one, they do. That's the news. If they take him in round one, they feel good about the off field situation. So George Pickens, you can kind of see some of the stuff here, just a physical athletic freak. And, you know, his career arc's different and unique because he did have the ACL injury, but he came back and he was able to make some big plays and playing in the national championship game. He made some big plays in the college football playoff And I'm a big fan of his, and we're all a big fan of his. So Boye Mafe, George Pickens are the first two picks in this draft for the Chiefs. Where do you go from here? What are you looking at trying to improve in day two and day three of the draft? They're sitting there at 29 and 30, so they got all their picks left. What do you do?
I think you, again, immediately have to go get another defensive end. And this, even more than Ebiketie that we talked about earlier, I think you have to have a defensive end that can come in and play the run. Ebiketie, you might be able to find ways to survive with him out there because he's not a bad run defender. He's just small, especially by NFL standards. Boye Mafe is a poor run defender. He's not good technically, and he doesn't, you know, hold up to physicality that well. So you have to almost come around immediately and go get a Josh Pascal or a Cameron Thomas. I mean, it's somebody right away that can fill that role. You're probably good at receiver, so now you get to go focus on the secondary. You get to essentially focus on the defense for a little while. So, like, I don't mind. That's why I like, again, the Pickens pick. He should go higher. He kind of fits in that Jameson Williams bucket of, he solves your wide receiver issue if you feel good about the injury stuff and you don't have to double dip quickly if you go with a guy with of that talent.
I don't know if we're talking about Boye Mafe specifically. I think in the mentions here, Boye Mafe will be 24 during his rookie year. So that is kind of an older prospect for anybody that is asking that question, or if they were asking that question in the comments of the show. Mm-hmm. So I think you do have to go address, you know, you got to go address edge early, but like, yeah, you could still go get corner. I mean, there's some corners. Maybe it's a Pascal Martin Emerson round two, something like that. Make a little bit of sense. One more mock draft to kind of take a look.
We got to go somewhere else with Daniel Jeremiah's because it wasn't in the written version. It was in the video, but he specifically mentioned that the Chiefs could get up to pick 9. He said they could offer both first round picks, and he said they'd have to throw in a third. I assume that's a Jimmy Johnson chart thing, because I think by the Rich Hill, at least the old Rich Hill chart, it would with not be a third round pick, but he just specifically mentioned pick 9. And the reason that's interesting in his mock draft, he had Seattle trading out of pick 9, only one spot for some reason, but they traded back from pick 9. But Kayvon Thibodeau was there on the board. And anybody that follows the show knows I'm going to pound the table for any time I can say the Chiefs should trade up for him. So I just thought it was interesting that DJ at least mentioned how far up they could move, specifically mentioned pick 9. And it also happened to be a spot that a team was trading out of in his very own mock.
And the Seahawks are very apt to trade out. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. 29 and 30 does get you there. Should get you there. They shouldn't have to throw any additional capital. And if they do, I'll probably be a little bit upset.
Not if it's for Kayvon Thibodeau. So whatever you need.
Yeah, there's your blue chip pass rusher to go with that group. So yeah, definitely something worth monitoring. All right, one more mock draft, and this one does actually have Daxton Hill. I promise you, Charles Davis did his mock draft. NFL.com's Charles Davis, NFL Network's Charles Davis. He has Daxton Hill and Sky Moore. Daxton Hill, the safety out of Michigan. Sky Moore, the receiver out of Western Michigan, to the Chiefs. And I believe that, like I think we talked about, Daxton Hill was one of our mock draft selections when we did our mock draft yesterday. It's all running together, Maddie. But yesterday we did have Daxton Hill, and he's a guy that, you know, can play in the slot, a versatile safety, high character, high football IQ, really quality football player. And I think you're getting just a quality football player if you get him at pick 29.
Yeah, and he's a safety that I think a lot of people tout up the versatility and stuff like that, and it's absolutely there. But I think if you draft him in round one, I mean, you're just banking on his ability as a slot corner, which is interesting given the Chiefs situation of L'Jarius Sneed plays there, but they've moved him outside. He's played outside before. Maybe that's something they do see in the cards. If they take Daxton Hill, I would feel very confident that's their move. I don't think you take Daxton Hill in round one to play him at safety, because that's, I mean, over 75% of his snaps are in the slot. Like, that's a pretty big projection for a guy that hasn't played there. So like, remove safety. He's a corner. You drafted a slot corner, which is fine. It's a valuable position in round one, and he's a very good one. He might be the best one in this class, right up there with Trent McDuffie, if you're just going on a profile. So I like the pick. I get it. I think it's not the versatility. I think it's a little overhyped with him, but we don't spend enough time talking about the fact that he might be the best man-to-man slot corner in this entire draft.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, if you are liking what we're doing here, go ahead and click the like button and the subscribe button on this video if you are watching and you like what was going on. We got a lot of people watching right now. Feel free to hit the like and subscribe button. We got so much going on at KC Sports Network. Again, we will be live for every single pick at Kingdom Bar and Grill in Overland Park. So make sure you go check that out. Either if you're in KC, you want to go hang out with us, or you can watch it on here. We'll be breaking things down from a very Chiefs specific perspective. So hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. So yeah, we go Daxton Hill with the first pick, and then the second pick in the first round, Sky Moore, receiver out of Western Michigan. And what's interesting to me, Maddie, is we did a mock draft scenario a while back. We tried to be measured and realistic, and we went safety. I know you're treating Daxton Hill as a corner here, but we did go safety and receiver and went Sky Moore. We went Lewisine Sky Moore. People were furious about that pairing, but Sky Moore, what do you think about Sky Moore at pick 30? I'm happy. I think you're probably pretty content too.
Yeah, I really like Sky Moore's game. I think it'll translate to the NFL pretty well. This is a dude that has barely played the receiver position. He's played wide receiver for 3 years. He was a quarterback, goes to Western Michigan. They say, nah, you're going to be a receiver now. And then he puts up the kind of numbers he did at Western Michigan after 3 years of playing receiver. Like, there's so much more that he can still get to. And yet he's one of the better route runners in this entire class. Like, I think there's immense upside there. He's not your traditional do everything kind of guy. So like, you're not going to have him go play as your X wide receiver. You're not even going to keep him on the outside all the time, but move him around, play him in the slot, play him at the Z. He's got over the top speed. He's good after the catch. Like, he kind of does a little bit of everything. I've said it all this whole process. You need a guy that's going to replicate the same type of stuff that Tyreek Hill did, not as good, not as well, and not everything, but the same type of stuff. I think Sky Moore is one of the best options that, you know, you don't have to take in the top 15 that can do the most stuff that Tyreek Hill did. He can run all of the yards after catch stuff. He can run the deep overs, the RPO slants and bubbles. Like, he's very well versed in a lot of that stuff. So like, you're getting a guy that you could drop into that role and see how effective or how impactful he can be.
A little bit of everything jives really well with, it jives really well with, the Chiefs offense. I mean, I think a guy that can kind of move around, because we've talked about in some of the traditional XYZ roles kind of get thrown out the window a little bit at times with Travis Kelce lining up on the backside of the formation. You got to be a little bit more versatile. You got to move around a little bit. And so I do think you could put him outside in some capacity in a small amount of snaps. And I think he can be a little bit oppressed, but I think he's a guy that moves around and can move all over the field. And the route running ability is very real for a group of five receiver. And he's a super talented kid, some breakaway speed, some long speed. You do like that out of him as well, because he did test really well with his vertical speed or his long speed as well. So I'm very intrigued by him. I like him a lot. He'd be a very fun fit in Kansas City. Let's kind of build that mock. Let's do that. Let's build the draft around these two picks. So if the Chiefs go Daxton Hill and Sky Moore in the first round, you know, what are you kind of doing? You really got to address the defensive end position a little bit too.
Yeah, you do. You still got to go to defensive end. I think as much as I love Sky Moore, you still have to probably get some more size or another body type in that wide receiver room eventually. I think he's good enough and ready to play early enough that you might be able to push that off to round four. But you still have to address something. So like, again, this is the difference between trading up for Jameson Williams, taking the risk on the character and injuries of George Pickens versus with Watson and Sky Moore, just taking the best wide receiver there. So like, you still got to get a wide receiver. You're probably good on corner. I don't think they're desperate to get an outside corner if you take Daxton Hill.
Yeah.
They can. That's the good news. You can go slowly take a corner if there's good value, but you don't have to, because Sneed's your new outside corner. And then Daxton Hill's playing on the inside. So like, you got better at, you know, potentially two positions there. I think they set themselves up well. It's just, there's still a lot of needs. And I mean, defensive end, that's a big need. You probably need 2 to 3 swings in the rest of this draft.
Yeah, you got to take some swings at defensive end. You take one on day two. You got to take one at defensive end on day three. And there's an edge out of Oklahoma. I bet he sticks, Maddie. It's Isaiah Thomas, the defensive end out of Oklahoma. What you like about him?
His teammate, Nick Bonito, gets a lot of hype right now, but Isaiah Thomas did some really nice stuff. You know, this is a bigger, long guy, over 33-inch arms, 265, 270 pounds. Plays defensive end, plays 5-tech, plays 3-tech at times. He moves all around. You know, he plays behind his length. He's going to be good against the run. In that Oklahoma kind of defense, he does a lot of slanting and stunting, so there is a little bit of a projection to see how he'll do in the NFL, but his physical traits should lend him to being a versatile kind of early down defensive end early on in his NFL career, and that makes him a pretty good pairing if you want to go get one of these younger, more athletic kind of speed rushers off the edge that maybe can't do those same things.
Yeah, I think he's a really good fit for Steve Spagnuolo's defense, and I think he makes a lot of sense on day three. Isaiah Thomas, I bet he sticks in the NFL. And if you are looking for golf clubs, sticks, golf is what you need to be looking at. They are the best value in golf. I am on my second set of them. I got the newest set, the complete set, and I actually took them out this weekend and played really, really well. You know, I love the sand wedge, the 56 degree wedge. I've got some really nice wedges. I've been getting a lot better. And, you know, this has been the perfect set of clubs for me in my golf journey. As you know, I've kind of started to fall in love with it the last couple of years. So if you are looking for a set of clubs, go to sticks.golf, use promo code KCSN10, and we and you'll get a 10% discount on your set of clubs. So make sure you are checking them out. They are incredible. I am one of their biggest fans, if not their biggest fan. We have something really cool we got to announce before we get out of here, and something we're going to be doing this weekend. We all know about the tragic passing of Terrez Paylor. He's left a hole in this space in Kansas City that's not been filled and probably never will be. He's a special, special talent. He's a special, special human, and he impacted all of us in a lot of different ways. And so we're trying to continue to support him and his legacy. So we are doing a raffle this year to support Terrez Paylor scholarships, both at Howard University and at Mizzou. So if you donate $10 to the KC Sports Network Venmo, it's KC Sports Network, you'll be entered for a chance to win one of three different items. We're gonna raffle off a Travis Kelce jersey. We're gonna raffle off a signed Patrick Mahomes helmet, and we're also going to be raffling off a Nick Bolton jersey as well. So if you donate $10 to the KC Sports Network Venmo, that'll give you an entry. So per opportunity, you could donate 100 and get 10 chances into this thing. But we're trying to continue to support Terrez's legacy, and it's a great cause. So go to the KC Sports Network Venmo, and you donate to that, you'll get a chance to win either a Travis Kelce jersey, a Nick Bolton jersey, or a signed Patrick LaVon Mahomes mini helmets. I mean, come on. And we'll be making the announcements on the winners, I believe, during the live show, the day three of the live show. So we'd really appreciate the support. It's really cool to try to give a chance to support Terrez and his legacy. So thank you guys all so much for listening. Hit the like, subscribe button. Buy the KCSN draft guide. There's a link in the description of this show as well, whether you're watching or listening. Get you the KCSN draft guide for, I believe, $12.99 with promo code DRAFTMISS. And it's a perfect companion for this draft weekend. So thank you guys so much for listening, for watching. We appreciate you. We can't wait to see you at Kingdom Bar and Grill on Thursday night. We'll catch you later.
Tomorrow night.